Well-Tempered Baroque is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program is provided by listener members like you. Consider becoming a member of the Classical Network or a sponsor of this show. Visit us at wwfm.org. Thank you. Welcome to Well-Tempered Baroque. I'm Dr. Lewis Barretts. Today, we continue our discussion of Antonio Vivaldi, the famed Venetian composer who is today best remembered for writing more than 500 concertos for a myriad of instruments. During his lifetime, Vivaldi had a great influence on the form and procedural technique of the Baroque concerto. His L'estro armonico publication of 1711 even found its way to J.S. Bach, who reworked some of the pieces both as a sign of his homage to Vivaldi and as a means to further study Vivaldi's music. Vivaldi, of course, reworked some of his own music. He was under pressure to compose frequently for the girls' school at the Pio Ospedale della Pietà, to produce music for his other patrons, and to publish music that would bring him additional income. Of his more than 500 concertos, approximately 350 were written for a solo instrument with strings and continuo. The violin is specified in about two-thirds of these. The remaining solo instruments include the bassoon, a favorite of his, followed in number by the cello, oboe, flute, viola d'amore, recorder, and mandolin. About 40 concertos are for two instruments and strings, and the remaining 30 or so are for three or more solo instruments, including the early clarinet, the shalimo, the archlute, horns, and timpani. A few don't have strings at all. Vivaldi wrote about 90 instrumental sonatas, string symphonias, at least 48 operas, and much sacred choral music. But today we'll again focus on his concertos. Vivaldi's Opus 10 concertos were published around 1728 in Amsterdam by Musikprintum Michel Charles Sen. The six concertos in this collection are for flute, strings, and continuo. The second concerto, set in G minor, has the programmatic name La Notte, night. As such, there are rhetorical elements that vary from the mysterious to the exciting. La Notte begins with a largo introduction that lasts for 28 measures. The movement is mostly 2D, that is, without a particular solo section, with the prevalent rhythmic motive of a dotted eighth note followed by a 16th note. The flute has a few measures of 16th note triplets that sing above the strings, and this varies the color a bit. A presto section follows, with a Phrygian scale in the flute. That is, a minor scale with a lowered second note, and it's paired with the first violin a third below, then a natural G minor scale in the viola, cello, and harpsichord that firmly establish the key. The devices of this movement alternate the typical Vivaldi musical language devices, arpeggiations, tremolos, and 2D scales. The next movement, Largo, presents the flute in an aria-like solo. A presto follows in F major but moves to C major, then a largo in C minor, then a final allegro, a movement that comprises a very basic four-note pattern that permeates the 2D sections. So you see, this is not entirely a conventional concerto. This is Antonio Vivaldi's concerto in G minor for flute, La Notte, Opus 10, number 2, RV 438, L'Arte dell'Arco, Federico Guglielmo director with flutist Mario Falena.
Thank you.
We heard Antonio Vivaldi's Concerto in G Minor for Flute, Strings, and Continuo, La Notte, Opus 10, No. 2, RV 439, performed by L'Arte dell'Arco, Federico Guglielmo, director, with flutist Mario Falena. Antonio Vivaldi was a native of Venice. He was born in that city on March 4, 1678. Venice was an important city with respect to the history of music. St. Mark's Basilica was one of the most influential music centers in Europe, and Vivaldi's father served there as a violinist, thus bringing the young Antonio into contact with some very fine players and composers. So, we heard a flute concerto. Let's turn now to a recorder concerto. Vivaldi pushed the envelope of the recorder. Unlike the famous 24 Neapolitan recorder concertos of around 1725, Vivaldi's recorded concertos were written for true virtuoso players that can handle the gymnastics, these wild, wild arpeggiations and broken figures. Vivaldi wrote these for the flautino, that is, a small recorder. This is not all that helpful, actually, because we really don't know exactly what a flautino is, other than it's a small recorder. Some of these concertos appear to be for an F recorder, such as the alto recorder, but the diminutive word flautino might actually suggest the sopranino, which is actually an octave higher than the alto. Some of these are really meant for the soprano recorder. This is the concerto for recorder strings and continuo in G major, RV 443, performed by the group Rebel. The recorder soloist is Matthias Mauta. Thank you. Antonio Vivaldi, Concerto for Recorder, Strings, and Continuo in G Major, RV 443, Rebel, with recorder soloist Matthias Mata. Now, of course, we have to turn to one of Vivaldi's favorite instruments. Well, at least it was an instrument he liked to write for, the bassoon. Vivaldi wrote at least 37 bassoon concertos. The concerto in A minor for bassoon strings and continuo, RV 500, might have had an association with Count Wenzel van Mortzen, Vivaldi's bohemian patron. This concerto is in the typical Italian form of three movements, fast, slow, fast, although the key scheme is A minor, C major, and C major, not a final A minor as one would expect. The internal structures are typical of his writing, an opening 2D, then a virtuosic solo section with broken chords, and a concluding 2D. The second movement is essentially an arioso. It's brief and bipartite, comprising two repeated sections of 5 measures and 8 measures, and the final movement opens with some imitation, then flamboyant arpeggiations, triplets, and a final 2D. We hear Baroque bassoonist Peter Whalen with La Serenissima, Adrian Chandler, director.
Thank you.
That was Antonio Vivaldi's Concerto for Bassoon in A Minor, RV 500, Peter Whalen, Baroque Bassoon, with La Serenissima, Adrian Chandler, director. Now, let's combine forces and hear a concerto for recorder, violin, and bassoon in continuo. This is in F major, and it's RV 100. Here, Vivaldi uses three of his favorite instruments. Did he have particular players in mind? We really don't know. But it's apparent that there were several really good recorder players and bassoonists who were proficient enough to play this music. There are no ripieno strings in this concerto, so it's entirely a chamber piece. But there is a ritornello, that is, a prevalent and returning musical idea. This is Musica Pacifica, Judith Linzenberg, recorder, Marilyn Baino, Baroque bassoon, and Elizabeth Blumenstock, violin, with continuo players David Morris, cello, Michael Egan, archlute, and Charles Sherman, harpsichord. This is, again, a typical Italian three-movement structure. Allegro, largo, and allegro.
Thank you. Thank you.
We heard Musica Pacifica with soloist Judith Linzerberg, recorder, Marilyn Baino, baroque bassoon, and Elizabeth Blumenstock, violin, in a performance of Antonio Vivaldi's Concerto in F Major RV-100 for recorder, violin, bassoon, and continuo. We'll conclude today with an unusual concerto, the Concerto in D Minor RV-535, which is for two oboes, strings, and continuo. This concerto opens with the strings presenting somber sigh motives. The writing is almost classical Erin style, as the harmonies discover themselves, setting the stage for the oboes, which enter at the allegro section in measure 25. The oboes burst with energy, and there are characteristic devices such as imitation, syncopation, movement in thirds, and a typical Vivaldi static bass with octave movement. The second movement, or if you consider the opening movement really as two separate movements, then this is the third movement, is a largo, but it has dance-like character despite its slow tempo. This is lyrical, folk song-like, and it's set in the key of D minor rather than in the relative major key of F major. Only the oboes and continuo play in this movement, so it really resembles the slow movement of a trio sonata. The final movement is allegro molto, and this is again marked with characteristic writing, such as arpeggios, melodic fragments passed between the soloists, and chromatic figures. We hear the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, Nicholas McGagan director, with baroque oboists Mark Schachman and Gonzalo Ruiz.
Thank you.
Antonio Vivaldi's Concerto in D Minor for Two Oboes, Strings, and Continuo, performed by the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, Nicholas McGagan, director, with Baroque oboists Mark Schachman and Gonzalo Ruiz. What a fantastic composer indeed. Vivaldi was prolific, diverse, and a trendsetter. Yet he died in poverty, far from home, and was buried in a pauper's grave. His fall from grace is attributed to his vanity. He succeeded in achieving patrons from the highest ranks in Europe, but unlike others, he continually boasted of it. He bragged of his ability to compose new concertos faster than they could be copied. He exaggerated the number of works he published, and he doubled the number of operas that he actually had written. He attacked his critics and blamed others when performances didn't go well. The great irony is that he was said to be obsessed with money. That he died without a ducat is not shocking, for most people in the 18th century didn't have a concept of saving money for the future. Yet he was an excellent violinist and a highly prolific and influential composer, despite the criticism that some of his violin parts were unnecessarily complicated and his harmonies were predictable. Remember that Vivaldi was a priest, but a priest who refused to perform his duties only 3 years after he was ordained. And he was accused of cavorting with the singer Anna Giro. But thank goodness for the rediscovery of his music and for the recent availability of so many exciting recordings, many with the vitality and historically informed approach that helps us to really appreciate his music. Next week, we'll explore another aspect of Vivaldi, that is, his sacred music. Until then, thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed today's program, consider becoming a member of or donor to the Classical Network. Visit us online at wwfm.org. Through our syndication and streaming, Well-Tempered Baroque is heard throughout the globe. And it's the global network that is the Classical Network. And we do need your support. Contact us through our website at wwfm.org. I'm Dr. Lewis Barrett. Have a great week.